Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is a 3 o'clock p.m. edition of Education Talk Radio today, starring a returning guest, a great educator, fourth grade teacher from Hackensack, New Jersey, has been on before, Chrissy Romano. And she's stuck. I usually do my shows in the morning, okay, but I like having Chrissy on, and she can't get breakaway because she is one busy lady. Okay, so we do the shows at 3 o'clock, so welcome. We're going to archive over at our website, which is education-talkradio.org. We do that with every show, and, you know, all of our shows are archived over there. We put our schedule up over there every Saturday, education-talkradio.org. Friend us on Facebook. Well, especially if you want a letter back as a thank you from Vladimir Putin, we'd be happy to do that for you. Okay, we're over at Education, we're EduTalk Radio, and same thing over on Twitter at EduTalk Radio. So please follow us. We'll send you a link before each and every show and an autographed picture of Vladimir Putin, the Facebook king. All right, without further ado, not to get too political anyway, it's March 26th, and let me bring Chrissy on. Hi, Chrissy. Welcome back.
Hey, how are you? Glad to be back.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. How was your day today in school?
It was very busy. As usual, it's always busy on a Monday.
As usual, was it crazy busy or just normal?
No, just pretty much normal busy. We had a fire drill that was unexpected at the end of the day, so that, you know, threw a little wrench into things right in the middle of science. But, you know, we're used to that here in elementary school.
That's scary when they're not expected. You know, did you enjoy your snow day last week?
Yes, I did, very much so.
Good.
It was totally relaxing. I did nothing school-related. It was just family time, so it was very nice.
And I know other people who enjoyed it. That's every kid who goes to New Jersey schools.
Yes, I'm sure.
I hope they did. What's been going on since last time? We talked about 4 months ago. Yeah,
it's been a couple of months. I actually planned a much-needed vacation, so that's something outside of the education world. We're actually leaving next week for Clearwater Beach, Florida. So
wonderful.
It's a nice time away. Just my husband and me, we haven't been away together, just the two of us, in 15 years. So,
wow.
Since our honeymoon. Yeah. So usually the kids
wow.
are there. So it's just going to be the two of us. So I can't wait. Very excited.
Have a great time. Is next week a vacation week in Jersey?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Not everywhere in New Jersey. I mean, it is spring break for us. Most schools in Bergen County. But New Jersey, there's a couple of different weeks in April. That we have off for spring break.
Yeah, because up here in Maine, every school district has the same week off. As far as I know, actually. Well, it's good to have you back here.
Thank you.
You know, you labeled the show, and I really like this, nurturing the quiet kids in our classrooms. Nurturing the quiet kids in our classrooms. And that's hard because kids can be shy and whatever the case may be. All right? I know you're a whole child educator. And by the way,
yeah.
I was just at the ASCD conference.
Oh, nice.
Okay, in
Very
Boston,
nice.
Yeah, over the weekend, and which was wonderful, yeah. by the way. And, you know, they're whole child advocates and just great
yes,
stuff.
Yes, that's on my bucket list for next year. I'm hoping to get there.
Oh, you should go.
Sure.
Next year's in Chicago.
Nice, yeah. Looking forward to it.
You should go. Everybody should go. It was really an excellent conference, I got to tell you. But the quiet kids, the introverts, you know, the old saying, Chrissy, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but we got to grease the other wheels, too. Talk about that. Yeah, talk about that. Advocating for the quiet kids. And the other question is, you know, when you talk about a quiet kid, do all the other teachers think they're a quiet kid?
I think pretty much the quiet kids are in my experience, are pretty much quiet across the board for all different reasons. I mean, some of them may be that quote-unquote introverted personality type. Other kids may be quiet, you know, because they're just carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. In the district where I work, we have quite a few kids that, you know, you find out just from a little bit of conversation with them. It's language acquisition issues. You know, maybe I'm getting them for the first time
right.
coming out of a bilingual program and – so they're, you know, not so willing to take risks and raise their hand and participate, you know, just for fear of making a mistake or, you know, not pronouncing something correctly. So there's lots of different reasons. And the unfortunate thing is that most schools today are still very, very traditional. So if you go back to when you and I were kids and we were sitting in a grammar school or a middle school or a high school for that matter, not much has changed. You know, you have your little pockets of innovation and you see flexible seating here or different types of learning spaces there. But overall, you know, you still see desks. Many, many classes, those desks are still in rows. There's still that traditional structure of participation where the teacher asks a question and the kids have to, you know, raise their hand and, you know, compete for the attention.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where, you know, I come into play, where I try to offer different opportunities for those kids that are never going to raise their hand for whatever the reason. And I think for me, it became very much on my radar when my son hit third and fourth grade. So he is that very much a textbook introvert, but he's even shy on top of it. So that's a whole nother conversation,
wow.
But not all introverts are shy. But he is that textbook shy introvert. And, you know, conference after conference, you know, Christopher needs to participate more. I would like to see him be a part of the discussions. I would like to see him raise his hand. And year after year, conference after conference, I would turn, you know, push back and say, okay, so that's not going to happen because of the way he's wired and just his personality and his nature. So what are you doing to include him as part of your classroom community outside of expecting him to raise a hand in a whole group situation? They usually sit there stunned. They see me coming now. I mean, he's an eighth grade now. So they know.
Yeah.
They kind of know
and
that,
they see
you know, they know
they
me now.
They may see you coming, but you're coming from a good place. Okay, parents have to advocate, and you're a teacher.
Yes, yes.
You know the score.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know it can be done. You do it.
And
okay,
exactly.
So yeah, they shouldn't be scared of that.
I think that the fear is in the unknown. It's like I learned this way. I was taught how to teach this way. I've been doing it this way for a really, really long time, and it worked for me. So it must be working for everybody else. So
yeah,
the
well,
question
ladies used to have their babies in the field and keep on picking strawberries. So those days are gone. Okay, it's been a mild change since the days when we were in school. And you know, I meant to ask you, and I just want to go back for a second. Hackensack, New Jersey. Okay, I'm a Philly kid, as you well know. Okay, that's, by the way, it's not Hacky Sack, like the little game, everybody. It's Hackensack. Tell everybody what your Nellie Parker Elementary School is like so they can get a feel for where you're coming from this.
Okay, so I guess the main thing for me is it's a very community, family-based school. You walk in, and it is just, as a whole, very nurturing. It's all about the kids.
Nice.
It's all about families. It's all about us being a team. So the teachers, the administrators, the PTO, the parents, you know, the kids, we you know, all work together to make sure the kids are successful in their school experience. The other kind of wacky thing, and I think we talked about it the last time, that makes our school fairly unique, not only here in Hackensack, but pretty much up and down the East Coast. You don't see a lot of them. We have an open concept building. So there are no walls and there are no doors.
Wow.
So they truly are learning spaces where we just have dividers that are, you know, dividing one space from another. So the kids have to learn very early on how to focus, how to tune out, you know, stimuli. And it's not easy. And especially when you talk specifically about introverts, we are wired differently. We are hypersensitive to stimulus. So anything, you know, above the normal din in terms of sound and light can be stressful. It can be draining.
It can be stressful, but I want to ask something. When you said you went to your parents' night for your kids, okay, your son being slightly introverted, okay, but you
more
teach
than slightly.
Open, more than slightly, whatever. But my point is, you teach at this open. You by the way, you've been in the business 25 years, okay, elementary and middle school. You're teaching fourth grade now. Okay, which, by the way, would drive me insane, so God bless the fourth-grade teachers.
I love it.
Okay?
I love it.
Yeah, but I know, I'm sure you do, and I'm sure you're wonderful at it, okay? That's not my point. When you go, to where your kids go to school, and you don't have to say where that is or anything. Okay. Are you a little surprised to see how traditional it is and how the teachers might react? Because when you're in that open concept, you're, quote, literally a little more open to, if I may, semi-annoying things or conflict or whatever the case may be. There's no place to hide. All right?
Yeah, and, that's true.
Yeah, what's your sense? And I mean hide both figuratively and literally. But what's
right.
your... What's your sense when you go to where the kids go to school, your kids?
So in terms of being surprised, I'm not. And we talked about this, I think, a little bit the last time I was on your show.
I think we did.
I also do consulting work. So I do travel up and down the East Coast. I work in lots of different schools. And what I have found in the almost 4 years now that I've been doing that consulting work is that most schools are still very traditional across the board. It's little pockets of change and innovation, but overall they're very traditional. So when my kids started a school in the district where we live, it wasn't shocking to me that they had one-to-one devices, but they really weren't doing anything innovative or creative with them. They were simply substituting technology with what you used to do with pencil and paper. And mind you, still there are times when pencil and paper is better than the tech. So it doesn't surprise me. And I guess it's because of my other work. I hope that answers your question.
It's not
too shocking.
No, it did. But you know, I was just curious because there's a juxtaposition between where you work as an educator and where your kids go as a mom. Tell everybody about your consulting work.
So I'm a certified Google trainer. That's my, my official certification. But the work that I do really is around making learning more authentic for kids, trying to share with teachers, ways to incorporate things that real people do in the real world in your classroom. So
nice.
Things like, book clubs and blogging and using social media tools. So I'm not Google specific, although, I definitely, that's my area of expertise, but
sure.
it's basically around using lots of digital tools and opening up your mind and just really being open to change and understanding that we can't teach kids today that the way we were taught. The world is a very different place. And if we want our kids to be successful, we can't keep doing what we've always done. Some things, yes. I mean, absolutely. There are things that are tried and true that kids need to know how to do. But we definitely need to learn how to grow with the times, for sure.
Well, we do indeed. And as I always like to say, people who believe that reading, writing, and arithmetic are the way to still do it, I remind them that only one of them actually begins with an R. Okay, times have changed.
Yeah, that's true.
And you brought up something interesting. You're in an open concept school, all right? And two things I want to bring up. When I was at ASCD, I met a nice group. I'm going to follow up with them after the show, called Safe and Civil Schools. Safe and Civil Schools. And I asked them, and I don't mean to, I seriously don't mean to get political about this, but President Trump ran a pretty rough campaign, all right, if I may. And I don't mean to get political on this. I guess it is a little bit, but I don't mean it that way. The language, the making fun of people, however you want to phrase all those sort of things. And people are telling me, and I asked this of the folks that I met at Safe and Civil Schools, I asked them if they had seen more of a lack of civility in schools since Mr. Trump's campaign began, if I may, okay? And they said that not only is it anecdotal, okay, it's actually proven by research that it has gone down. So my question to you is, when you're in an open environment like that, like you're in at Nellie Parker, your school, okay, in Hackensack, have you seen a decline in civility amongst the kids at all. That's A. And B, and I know you like talking about this, there's the great trend these days is social-emotional learning, okay,
yeah.
Which deals with these types of things. So I'll put those mm-hmm. two things together and also ask you if you've seen a difference in civility, not just in L.A. Parker, but you work at schools all over the East Coast. What are you seeing out there? And then put it in perspective of SEL.
So I guess for me here at Nellie K. Parker School, we have a pretty stable community. We have kids that are coming into kindergarten, and they stay with us through fourth grade. So it really becomes like an extended family. Everybody knows
nice.
Everybody else. You know, the parents are very involved. The teachers are also very involved. You know, we do come out in force for, you know, events in the evening and events on the weekends. And
nice.
It really is a community school. So I'm not really seeing that decline in civility as you're referring to. And I don't doubt that there's research to prove it in other places. But here, it's so important to us that the kids are put first and that we are kind to each other. And that, you know, we've been teaching the kids about empathy. This
right.
year in particular, every fourth grader read the book Wonder. We took our kids to see the movie. We've been doing work all year long about, you know, being kind and building empathy and putting each other, you know, putting yourself in other people's shoes. And it's just a constant part. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our school culture. So I'm not really seeing any decline in civility per se. Like I said, I'm sure others are seeing it, but.
Yeah, well, you tell your principal, okay? Across the board, from what these people told me, there was a decline in civility. And the fact that you're not seeing it at Nellie K. Parker, your school at Hackensack, is a major compliment to the way that school is being run.
I agree. I do agree
yeah.
with you. I believe that Lillian Whitaker is our lead administrator here. And, you know, the kids, she, you know, born and raised in Hackensack, still here in Hackensack, as
wow.
are many of us.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Hackensack as well, and I've been teaching here for 20 out of the 21 out of the 25 years that I've been a teacher.
Now, you guys do
my
know
husband
you're allowed
well.
To leave Hackensack. You are allowed to leave Hackensack. You do
yeah,
know
I don't live here anymore, although my mother
okay.
and my in-laws still live here. But most of us don't
about
leave.
The Putin thing. I was only kidding. You can go if you want to go. Okay.
So it really is important to her. And important to all of us, you know, that it is this, you know, community school and this tight-knit feel and that, you know, we're there for each other, that we support each other, that we have each other's backs. You know, my kids know when they walk in the door at the beginning of the year, I'm like, listen, you are with me for more hours in the day than you are at home. So this
wow,
is your home away from home. So we need to make this
literally.
A safe space for you. So I do spend a lot of time. I front load a lot of time with getting to know the kids, letting them get to know me, you know, creating this safe, nurturing environment. On the flip side, our middle school in our district has seen that steep decline that you're talking about. There's a lot of violence
I'm
in the building. And so am I. I was there for 15 years, and it was getting a little rough when I left. In the 2 years that I've been out of that school, it's really gone downhill fast. And nobody really knows
well,
like what's going on, but if that's an indicator of what this organization is referring to, then I absolutely agree. I'm just very happy to say we're not seeing it here at Nellie K. Parker School.
That is great, and actually it brings up another question. The social-emotional
sure.
skills you're teaching at Nellie Parker, which I believe should be taught everywhere. I'm a big fan of social-emotional learning. My good friends over at Aperture Education you know, produce materials like that. I met some companies down at ASCD that do the same thing, okay, Seven Mindsets, et cetera. There's a lot of companies that produce excellent stuff. I like the Aperture stuff, I got to tell you, okay? And but you're taking the time to teach your kids to have the social-emotional learning they need, okay? How many that middle school, do your kids feed into that middle school?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Okay, they do. All right. And so obviously, the logic, call me Sherlock Holmes, obviously the kids who are causing chaos in the middle school, though that's too strong a word, they probably aren't coming from Nellie Parker.
No, they're not. I'm not going to say none of them.
No, you don't have to. Let me do it.
For the most part, no. Okay. They're not kids that are
so
coming
my
from
question
school.
Is, my question is, with all that, we know now the Nellie Parker kids have the SEL, okay? But you've got other elementary schools. Those kids are going to the middle school, okay? So your kids face the dilemma of having a pretty rough time, which is not fun anyway, at middle school, that transition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But D, why aren't the other elementary schools in Hackensack talking to your school and putting everything together so that these five schools send kids with the same social emotional skills right into the middle school? And the middle school principal should be talking to the elementary school principals and saying, look, you guys got to set this up for us. Okay?
Well, let me backtrack for a second.
We were
focusing on my school, so I was only speaking of my school, but the four elementary schools, we are very much in league.
Beautiful.
When it comes to focusing on being a community school. So we're not the only one. So a lot of what you're seeing happening in Nellie K. Parker, you're seeing other similar circumstances and events and culture in those other buildings. We are all unique.
So where's
unique.
The disconnect when they get to the middle school?
I got to be honest with you. I really don't know. It's a quandary, and it's a problem that the superintendent and the Board of Education and the teachers, we all collectively sit and rack our heads about it, trying to figure out what happens. Not really sure. It's overcrowded. That definitely, plays a role. We start getting a lot of kids coming in from out of district into that sixth grade. So
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily and then again, you're getting kids that are mixing from four different elementary schools.
Agreed.
Now they're mixing in, with kids from the other schools. And I guess sometimes
by the way,
like
I didn't
magnets.
Mean to put you on the spot with all this. That wasn't my goal. I'm just curious I'm using Hackensack kind of as a generic thing here. Okay, my goal wasn't to start a whole big rigmarole, okay? My goal was simply to say there's obviously something going, there's a disconnect somewhere, because I'm sure from what you're telling me, the Hackensack Elementaries, they're doing a good job with social-emotional learning. And I bet to a certain extent, although it's harder in middle school because they're so content-oriented, okay,
yes.
to keep that going. But they obviously have to.
So here's the thing that I've noticed. So in 25 years, I've gone from elementary school first grade, pre-K and first grade, to the middle level for 15 years, and now back to the elementary school.
What did you teach in middle school?
English. I was an English teacher.
I knew that.
So here's the interesting thing. There was a book that was written a while back, and I don't remember the author, but it's like everything you learned in kindergarten –
I remember that.
For the rest of your life.
Remember that book?
Yeah. I can't remember the title, but it's something about, everything you learned in kindergarten, will serve you for the rest of your life. And it's so true. And I think that's what you were saying. A lot of, middle school teachers are content specific. And that's because of the way it's structured in New Jersey. You need to be highly qualified. You need in a content area. You need certain certifications. So most teachers in the middle level are not coming from an elementary K-8 background like me. Most are not. Most are content specific. So they've never been trained in the things that we as elementary school teachers have been trained.
Right. I agree.
So they are very content focused.
I was a history teacher.
Yeah,
we didn't pay any attention to the kids. Okay. I just learned history in college. Okay, there was child development courses or anything like that.
Right, and I think that's a part of it. So I'm not going to say that it's the administration's fault or it's the teacher's fault or it's the overcrowding. I think it's a combination of a lot of different things that are going on, and it's not just in our middle school here in Hackensack. Middle-level kids are their own unique beings, and with that needs to be training very specific on adolescence and the adolescent brain and, the hormonal changes that they go through and their whole you know, social dynamics. They're very, very unique. And unfortunately, middle-level kids fall through those cracks even more so than, you know, the introverts that I like to talk about all the time.
Then let's take it back a step, okay? Your superintendent, who I'm sure is a good person, okay, knows what schools, colleges he uses or she uses. Who is it, male or female superintendent?
In my district, it's a woman.
Okay, so she knows what colleges she uses to get new teachers, okay, and where most of a lot of her teachers go for their master's degrees, et cetera. They've got, you just hit it on the head, they've got to put in to the teachers who are going to be teaching subjects, like me, history, in secondary education, more and more about the social, emotional, et cetera, that principals have to add this to the school. Okay.
And I agree with you, but here's the other piece of it. Here's the other
By the way, Robert Fulghum wrote the book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly the one I was referring to.
I looked it up for you.
Here's the other tricky part, because, you know, you can't be so Pollyanna about it either and say, well, this is going to happen, so this is what we need to do. Here's the realistic side of things, and it dips into the political side of things a little bit as well.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, I can't speak for outside of New Jersey, but in the state of New Jersey, our evaluation procedures are very stringent, and they rely very heavily on teacher observation, park assessment scores, student growth objectives, and so on. So they're very objective. So the kids need to perform. So when you are a teacher that's an English or a math teacher, which I am both, so I have two MSGTs, so it's double duty for me, it's very hard to say to a teacher, I want you to focus on social-emotional learning, and the content will come. Now, I know it. Well, I know it to be true because I live it, and I'm not afraid at 25 years in my career – I'm not so worried about what my observations look like and what the numbers look like. And it is what it is. And I come in every day and I do what I need to do for my kids. And I don't worry, but these younger teachers, these non-tenured teachers, the younger teachers, they have to be concerned with those numbers and those statistics. And they need their kids to perform.
Well, I'm not saying you should put SEL ahead of content. I don't mean that.
But how do you balance that?
What I mean
that?
Is that it has
it's
to become
tricky.
Part and parcel of the way it's of what's being taught and also the way it's being taught.
I agree with
That's
you.
Going to help.
I agree with you. But
yeah,
you have a 40-minute period in a middle school or a high school. You have 40 minutes to cover what you got to cover. It's tricky. I'm not saying it can't be done because I did it and I know it can be done. But it does require a leap of faith and a little bit of risk-taking. And you need to kind of have what's the word? I want to say like cojones. You know what I mean? Like you need a little bit of that to be able to, you know, go in and do what you need to do and not and close the door, and not in my building, but you know, the figurative door, and not worry about, you know, the statistics and the numbers and your SGP and all of that stuff. It's not easy to do.
No, I don't mean to imply it's easy. And it's easy for me to scream this stuff, okay, into my microphone, okay? And I know it's hard, okay? But, you know, the times, they are a-changing, all right? And so we have to really look at that and not put the pressure on teachers, okay? But look at that and get it involved in teacher training. Have everybody support it. And if everybody supports good social-emotional learning, the problems will disappear over time, I believe.
I mean,
or
I agree with you. I mean,
think
about all the conversations in the past few weeks about gun control and gun violence and school shootings.
God bless those kids.
You know, you have, you know, the one side of it where people are focused on the gun laws. And then you have, you know, the other side that are focused on the lack of school counselors, the lack of mental health counseling, the lack of focus on social emotional learning. And because these kids are falling through the cracks, you know, you make that connection and now, you know, you have, you know, two things together. And so there's been a lot of conversation around that lately. And not that is a I mean, certainly losing the life of a child to violence of any kind, especially school shootings, is tragic
beyond
and
words.
Horrific.
Yeah.
But it is opening that conversation more about the need for, you know, social emotional learning, mental health counseling, and things along those lines. I mean, I hate to say that that's what, you know, it caused for it to open that conversation again, but at least the conversations are starting to be had.
That's right.
I mean, even the conversation that you and I, the fact that you and I are even talking about it right now, and, you know, hopefully there will be people that listen to the show, and if nothing else, it'll just cause them to be a little bit more reflective of their
That's
practices.
Right.
You know, do you walk
That's right.
into your classroom every day, and is it open up the books and you get right to work? Or do you sit down and you take a couple of minutes, you know, to shake a hand, to give a high five? I mean, with our, you know, younger kids even, you know, to give a little hug. How was your weekend? What did you do on your snow day? You know, you don't have to talk to every kid every day, but if you make the time to just make those connections and, you know, build
exactly.
those relationships and build rapport,
exactly.
it builds over time. It's just a little here, a little there, a little here. It doesn't have to be, you know, 15 minutes out of every 40-minute period.
No, and I don't mean it shouldn't be that much. Okay, shouldn't be even close to that much. Okay, but there's got to be a way to do it. And I know, Chrissy, with you leading the charge, will probably be fixed up by tomorrow afternoon. Okay.
Thank you so much. I would like to think that, but
you're a powerful woman, Chrissy. You don't know it. You're
Thank
a powerful
you.
Woman.
Thank you.
You are. Thank you. I love having you here. You're fun to have on the show, and you're smart.
Thanks so much.
And you're cool. And you're a good teacher. I love having you. Right.
I
have
love the compliment. Keep them coming. Thanks so much. Thanks
true.
For having me back.
All true. Have fun in clear water.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Not clear water. Clearwater Beach, Florida. There's
yes.
clear water in
yeah.
New Jersey.
Yeah, Gulf of Mexico. Gulf
I got
of Mexico.
It.
Clearwater
I
Beach.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Chrissy. Terrific. Have fun on your vacation.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye. Okay, Chrissy Romano. I like having Chrissy on. She's cool. I like Jersey girl. I like it. Okay. Okay. By the way, she tweets at The Connected Edu, The with a capital T, The Connected EDU, The with capital T, Connected EDU. Okay. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. Thanks, Chrissy. Great vacation, and to all you other Jersey teachers who are heading out soon. You guys have a great vacation, too. I'm Larry Jacobs, 3K 12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.